progressing well through this chapter. There's a lot in it. And it is a very important purpose. As we're reminded of various men who the Lord took and used and made great, and the things that marked them out in terms of their faith. You know, we started off and we thought about Abel. And as we thought about Abel, we thought about the whole idea of worship. And then we looked at Enoch. And we thought about the whole idea of our walk. And in particular of heaven as we looked towards it. We looked at Noah and we thought of our witness. And we thought in particular in our own judgment. We thought of Abraham and waiting and how his citizenship was really in heaven, not on this earth. We've looked at Isaac and the will of God. We've looked at Jacob and his weakness and how that was turned into strength. And we're going to look at Joseph this morning. And we're going to think a little bit about watching. Very easy to get discouraged in the Christian walk. We started off this morning and we were thinking of the great hope that we have. And we have a tremendous hope. But from time to time, we can get discouraged along the way. And you know, that was a situation that these Hebrew believers were in. They were greatly discouraged. Discouraged to the point where they wondered, should they go on? Or should they go back? And throughout the book, the writer has been reminding them to keep going on. And we're in this chapter now, and he's bringing before them people who kept going on for the Lord, who kept taking the Lord at his word and living it out. And you know, it's a great chapter, and there's so much we can learn from it. We've said before in recent weeks, this chapter sandwiched between two sections. We section at the end of chapter 10, where the believers were reminded to cast not away their confidence, to have patience, to look to the promises ahead, and to live by faith. And you know, whenever we come to the end of this section, we're going to look at a wee bit, and we're going to be reminded about all of these witnesses that have been set before us, and to consider them and to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. So each of these examples, they're here with the purpose of encouraging us, of exhorting us, and of explaining faith and what it is. And faith, as we've said, is our response to God's word. It's taking him at his word. Joseph gets one verse in this chapter. A bit like Abraham, Joseph gets around 13 chapters. Whenever you go back into Genesis and look at Genesis, you'll read about him from Genesis 37 through to Genesis 50. And we'll go back into Genesis just to look at one or two verses. This isn't a full character study of Joseph. We looked at Joseph about 2 years ago. I want to just focus in on three key things, I think, that this verse brings before us. So let's read it together. Hebrews 11 and verse 22. It reads, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." I suppose at first reading through, you know, part of this seems maybe a wee bit strange, and why he would give commandment concerning his bones. But, you know, we need to think about this, and there's three things really I want to look at. First of all, I want to think about his timing. You know, the first part of this verse says, by faith Joseph, when he died. Joseph lived to be 110 years. He was probably around 17 when he was sold into Egypt, which meant he spent 93 years in Egypt. And we're going to think a wee bit about his life, just as we think about the timing here. But when he died is how this verse starts off. And the question that immediately comes to mind is, why mention this single specific act right at the end of his life? I suppose when you think about Joseph and his life, he did live it faithfully for God. And his faith was tested greatly through many hardships. And it was also tested in success as well. You know, sometimes we think that faith is only tested in hard times, but faith tested in good times as well. Joseph was elevated to the highest possible position he could have been in within Egypt. And I believe that was as big a test for him as some of the hard times that he had. Because, you know, sometimes when we're in positions where things are going well, we can drift very far away from God and become self-reliant. So he was tested through hard times and also through his successes as well. But, you know, throughout it all, the one thing that marked Joseph out was that he trusted God. And throughout his life, his faith kept getting stronger. I want us to turn over just and think for a moment about a few verses in Genesis 49. We turn over to Genesis 49. Genesis 49, verses 22 through to 25. This sums up Joseph's life. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have harassed him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. Joseph is a fruitful bough. You know, whenever we think back to the studies that we did in Joseph, I suppose you could sum up his life in four ways. If we were starting off in Genesis 37, we see Joseph rejected. Joseph had these dreams, and these dreams actually foretold something, and he had shared them with his brothers, and they rejected them. He had shared them with Jacob as well, and they were rejected. And Joseph wasn't popular with his brothers, and their plan was to murder him. And he ended up sold into Egypt. He was totally rejected by his own. But you know, as we move on through Genesis into Genesis 39 and Genesis 40, you can see Joseph reviled. Joseph was sold to Potiphar, and he served him faithfully, and things were going well. But we know the story of Potiphar's wife and the advances that she made on him, and how Joseph rejected them, and then how Potiphar's wife sought to do him harm, and Joseph was thrown into prison. And we could think of his experiences in prison as well, where he was forgotten for many years, and also forgotten by those who he had helped when he was in prison as well. But we can move on through Genesis and into Genesis 41, and we see a massive change because we see him ruling. And we see how he had interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh and how Pharaoh had raised him up and put him into the position of authority. And we see him ruling. And he's a savior of the nation of Egypt because of the plans that he put in place. He was a great economist, and that there's a lot of economists about today, and they could learn a lot from the economic theories that Joseph put into practice. But you know, we move through the rest of Genesis through to the end of it, and from 42 to 45, we see him restored to his brothers and his father again. And you know, right throughout his life, Joseph was a fruitful bough. It didn't matter what situation he was in, whether it was hard times or good times, he was fruitful in what he did. And he kept going on for the Lord. And you know, you have all these wonderful pictures right throughout his life. And then we read in Hebrews 11 and 22, by faith Joseph, when he died. And we come right to the end of his life. And it focuses on one specific act. It doesn't get into all of these other things that we've thought about. And what we've got to ask ourselves when we think of his timing here, why at 110 years of age and dying refer to his words as an example of faith? We have to read the verse in its totality to see that. And if we've thought about the timing here, I want to think of Joseph as being in touch. And that's the second thought. Joseph, he was in touch. You see, the middle part of this verse, it reads, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Joseph knew God intimately. And Joseph trusted God implicitly. He was in touch with God and he was in tune with him. You know, we've quickly reviewed his life. We've thought of him rejected, reviled, ruling, and restored to his brothers. But you know, you can see in his life that Joseph was a man who was not just fruitful, he was also a man who was forgiving. And he also was a man who was faithful. I want you to turn over to Genesis 45 for a moment, just so as we can see how he was in touch. Genesis 45. And we're thinking of verse 7 and verse 8. And the context here is Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers who have come down into Egypt. And you know, his brothers are wary and they're worried. They're not sure what he'll do. They think perhaps he's a bit like them and he'll be looking for revenge. But you know, Joseph turns around here and he says in verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. These verses, when you stop and think about them, they give you an insight into how in touch Joseph was with God. Joseph knew what God's purpose was, and he could see what his part was in God's purpose for him being there. He could see God's provision for the nation of Israel in him being in Egypt and in the position that he was in. and he could see God's plan. He knew where this was all heading towards. And, you know, the crux of this is Joseph was in touch with God, and he knew God's word, and he knew God's plan. The brothers, they hadn't a clue. They were hungry. They had come down into Egypt because it was the only place to get food. They had given no thought to God's covenant with Abram, with Isaac, with Jacob. All they were interested in was filling their bellies and worried about Joseph seeking revenge against them. But Joseph could turn round to them, and despite the fact that he had been in Egypt for many years, he hadn't forgotten God's covenant with Abram, with Isaac, with Jacob. And he could see God's plan, and he believed it, and he was watching for it. Joseph knew God's word. He knew his plan. You know, you can go over to Genesis 48 and verse 4. And you can see here where Jacob was blessing Joseph and his sons. And it says in verse 4, Jacob reminds Joseph and God said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. I will make of thee a multitude of the people, and will give thee this land to thy seed and after thee for an everlasting possession. You have Jacob reminding Joseph here about the promise, but Joseph already knew that. Joseph could see God's plan. So we can see the timing of the writer here. You wonder about it right at the end of his life. Why this? But you know, we can see that Joseph was a man who was in touch. And he knew at the end of his life that God would take the children of Israel out of Egypt. And that's why he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. But you know, as we think about this verse, we've thought about his timing, we've thought about him being in touch. There's a third thing we can think about. We can think of his trust. You know, he really does take God at his word. At the very end of the verse, he gave commandment concerning his bones. He gave commandment concerning his bones. Let's just turn over to Genesis 50 for a moment. Genesis 50. And verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. You and ye shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So here we have his final words that are referred to in Hebrews 11. And as we've already mentioned, he knew God's word, he knew God's plan, he took God at his word, and he reminded the children of Israel that God would visit them and would take them out of this land and back to the promised land. And then he goes on and he mentions his bones. And we can see in verse 25 that he gave a command regarding his bones. If you were to turn over to Exodus 13 and verse 19, you can see that they were carried out of Egypt, and the children of Israel obeyed the command that he had given. And if you turn over to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 32, you'll see that his bones were committed to the ground in the promised land as he had commanded. And the question comes, why mention his bones? You know, why would he mention this at all? You know, as we draw things to the close here around Joseph, you know, we could focus on Joseph as a type of Christ. And while it's good to do that, I don't think it's helpful in understanding the passage in Hebrews that we've been thinking about. You know, I think the fact that's brought to our mind here is Joseph was 93 years in Egypt, and he never became an Egyptian. And that's a really important point. Throughout those 93 years, he never became an Egyptian. He was a stranger in Egypt. And as a Hebrew, he watched for God's promise throughout the entire time he was there, right up until his death. The fact that Joseph was a great ruler mattered little to him. At his death, he was more interested in reminding the children of Israel that God would take them out, that God's promise would be fulfilled, and he wanted his bones taken to the promised land. Right throughout his life, Joseph gave God the glory in everything that he did. You can think back to those verses that we read in chapter 45 of Genesis, verses 7 and 8, where if you read them carefully, you'll see that Joseph gives God the glory in every aspect. And that's what was important to him when he died as well, giving God all of the glory and seeing the fulfillment of God's promise. You know, Joseph wasn't going to physically see the promised land again. He wasn't going to see the fulfillment of God's promise and the children of Israel being brought back into the promised land. But he knew it would come to pass, and he believed it so much that he gave this command concerning his bones. Right up until he died, he watched for that day. And I suppose in terms of what we can take out of this, there's a lot of challenges for us. And again, the challenge comes back, what's our response to God's word? Joseph, he was faithful throughout his life. And despite the testing times, right up till his death, he lived in hope, taking God at his word. He kept watching for the promise. He never threw in the towel. And he kept remembering, you know, that he was this fruitful bough that Jacob referred to him as. And just like that bough that was connected to the trunk of a tree, the picture that we're given, he was part of a family that had a great promise from God, and he knew he was part of that. And I think the Hebrew believers were reminded, as Joseph was brought before them, just as we are, that they're part of the church. And that as part of the church, they're connected to Christ. That they're only passing through in this earth. And that they should set their eyes on Christ and watch for the promise of his coming and for what lies ahead. Joseph is a picture of watching. And I think that's the picture that the writer brings before these Hebrew believers who were going through tough times, is to keep trusting and keep watching. And I think that's the message for us as well. And the challenge is, will we take God at his word and keep watching for the promises that we have? We'll just close in a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. Father, we confess at times that we are weak, we grow weary. At times, perhaps, we even doubt. And Father, the example of Joseph has been brought before us from your word. And Father, we think of how throughout his life and right up until his death, he was watching for that great promise that had been given. And Father, we've been reminded of the need to watch. And Father, we have so many great promises in your word. And we have a great and mighty hope that we have thought about already this morning. Father, help us to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, help us to remember that we are only passing through. And Father, like Joseph, may each of us be fruitful boughs for you. Father, bless your word to us. And Father, we take a moment too just to remember the mission which starts tonight. Father, we pray for our brother Craig Dyer and for each one who will be involved night by night. Father, we pray your blessing upon them. We ask, Father, that they would be looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and that his name would be lifted up, Father, and that we would see souls won for you throughout this week. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name.